This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is 12:04 here in the studio. I don't know what time it is where you are. I'm making that same joke again.
Mm-hmm. 2 days in a row, Rich.
I know, right? Mm. It's because things haven't changed much, or have they? In the studio with me, giggling away, of course, over here is...
Arvind Raj.
And over
Audrey
there
Raj.
Is... And in the back over here is... It's Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hi.
We are going to be with you all the way till around 1 o'clock this afternoon. We have a question for you that we posed earlier on today. But before we get to that, 018-789-8899 is the number if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp. If you want to get us via Twitter, you can get us at BFM Radio. The same is at InstaStory. We have polls running with this very same question. The question is, does Malaysia need an injection of fresh blood in our leadership? Now, why are we talking about this?
Oh, we were not mincing words. Like, we did not beat around the bush with this question at all. It's like,
I think
like
yesterday,
that isn't loaded.
We kind of were stepping on eggshells a little bit yesterday, right? With some of our questioning and the line of discussion, because we were not sure what was going off, and I don't think anybody was a little sure. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say play it safe, but we wanted to play it safe. Today, though...
We're going straight to the point, yeah.
Right. So this morning then?
Yeah. So this morning on The Breakfast Grill, Karim Razlan and Jabba Sadiq, they had a discussion about how maybe I think they were quite clear about this. They felt like we needed an injection of fresh blood in our cabinet.
And by fresh blood, I'm assuming they mean young blood.
Yes, young blood. And we have a clip from the grill this morning. Let's just play that first.
So, sorry, there are lots of young men and women in Pakatan who seem very interesting, yeah? I think Hannah Yeo I have been extremely impressed by. But the most important thing I want to say today is, you know, democracy is a means to an end, everybody. It's not the end in itself. You've got to make sure that people's lives are demonstrably enhanced. And that's not what's been done. But I would say there are a lot of young, bright names in Pakatan. I think, Nurul, if you're listening, where are you? Can you get that in the frame, please, young lady? You are wasted wherever you are. You should be right in the center of the political debate. I would like to see Fahmi doing stuff, maybe even Rafizi. He's always kind of held out this potential as such a bright young man. Okay, young man, this is your chance. Tell us what you would do for finance, you know, that kind of thing. You know, give the guys a chance.
So there you go, young blood. And
young man, young lady.
Sounding a bit like a hitmaster there. Yes. I think that's what Jabba called him on the grill this morning, too. So here's the thing. Yesterday, when Karim came on in the morning, he said, like, he's just fed up. He's fed up of Tun M. He's fed up of Dato' Sri Anwar. He feels like the country, I mean, with our median age of 28, we need young leaders to push us forward, you know, to lead the charge of, you know, we've been talking so much about reform in this country, but, you know, to actually make these reforms happen, maybe you need a young person in charge.
Yeah.
Right?
He also said something very interesting about, you know, democracy, and it's a means to an end. It's not the end itself. And he said at the end of the day, it has to be about enhancing the lives of people. You know, that has to be the goal of anything in politics has to end with enhancing the lives of people. And I think that's one thing with the names that he dropped and the other things that he has said, and why people keep talking about young blood is because a lot of young politicians, not just in Malaysia, but around the world, always use that as the end goal. Like, they want to get to a point where it's not about personal gain, it's not about who's in power, it's not about who's running the country, but it's about how do you make the lives of the people around you better. Whether or not that changes over time is a different thing, but if you hear young politicians speak, that's always what they are about before anything else. Before, oh, who is the other person in office, or who's this person that I don't like, who's the person that I don't want in a place of power. It's always about, what can I do at work today? How can I go to work? How can I make a difference for the people? And then maybe think about all these other things on the side.
Is it, though, just because you think they're younger, they're more idealistic, and that becomes the reason they are like they are? I mean, let's take, for example, Bernie Sanders, right? When he was younger, you know, he was extremely idealistic. He'd got that kind of same mentality. You know, I want to change the world. I want to do this. I want to do that. Now, in his later stages of his career, you know, he still has that same kind of mentality. He's just considerably older, you know, but still maintains that level of I want to help everybody. Now, recently, though, we've seen an awful lot of younger people get politically motivated and want to become politically motivated. Why do you think that is?
I think that's just because, you know, the youth feel like, I mean, Arvind just mentioned how, you know, we call it the government of today, right? But then again, you also need to be thinking about the future, because the youth inherit the future, will inherit the planet. So I think, like, the youth are the ones bearing the brunt of the global economic crisis today. I mean, we've been talking about how the youth feel like they've been getting constant criticism about feeling entitled for wanting, you know, not only a good education, but good jobs. And they have a right to be represented and to fight for what future they hope to have, or the world they will live in the future as well. So I think putting a young person, letting a young person like lead the charge, you're not only thinking about the government of today, but also the government of tomorrow.
Right. I had a message earlier on my Instagram rather, from That's My Full Name, somebody who gets in touch with us quite regularly. And what they said was, get millennials to contest as independents. They'll be the ones to inherit this mess, so they should have a stake.
For sure, yeah. Why not? I mean, if they are gonna, you know, be the ones of, you know, quote unquote the future, Gen Z is the ones of the future. But, you know, if we're going that way, then yeah, they should have a stake. They should have a say in how the country goes. But also something you said in the beginning about, when we say fresh blood, do we mean young blood? Do we actually mean young blood? Because fresh can mean, you know, someone who's not familiar with politics, or someone who's not a politician.
Or someone who's not played, or someone who's not played a prominent role, you know, but he's been in the back and really, you know, putting in the hard work.
Yeah, so could that also be like a solution? They don't have to necessarily be young. They don't have to be within their 30s or 40s. But what if someone who is looking, from the outside looking in, someone who has a wider view, someone who studied politics but isn't a politician? So you're not tainted by local politics, you're not tainted by the stuff that has happened, you're not cynical. Can you come in and then sort of like fix the problems? Not, again, not just in Malaysia, but overall. You mentioned Bernie Sanders. Although he has been sort of in politics a lot, you could say that he is fresh. He is fresh blood, if you don't take his age into context. So, you know, how does that work? You know, does fresh mean young, or are they two completely different things?
Who was it, the last, was it Prabha, who was the young guy who was running as independent?
Yes.
And then was rolled into one of the coalitions, you know. Somebody like that, you know, who has that ambition of wanting to make change and not necessarily wanting to be attached to a political party or coalition. But I think back then you probably were not given much of a choice. You know, if you wanted to be a representative,
you wanted to gain traction.
And if you wanted to gain traction, something like that is an interesting way of being involved in politics.
There's also, and I know I keep going back to him, but U.S. President Donald Trump is fresh to politics. So he wasn't a politician. So when you speak about fresh blood, he is considered fresh blood. He's not young, but he is fresh to the politics scene. So, you know, you can see how it would swing in like different ways depending on who you put in that
seat. But that's also dependent on the people that put him in that seat as well. You know, these people who clearly voted for Donald Trump thought that his mandate was the right thing to be doing at that time. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of them still believe in that mandate, and we're still seeing that. But we're also seeing the flipping side of that. You know,
because he came in with that charge. He was like anti-politics.
Which, you know, he's let's drain the swamp, and that was his whole thing, right? And
No script.
Yeah, that's shown over time. That's not aged so well. Of course, we are asking that question, 018-789-8899 via WhatsApp, if you want to get involved with this question. Does Malaysia need an injection of fresh blood in our leadership? If so, who would you suggest? We have over 500 votes so far. We'll give you the numbers, though, when we come back after this song. It's Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze, here on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Braj,
Audrey Raj.
Our producer is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
12:16 coming up to 12:17. Our question of the day: does Malaysia need an injection of fresh blood in our leadership? Doesn't necessarily mean have to be young, as Arvind suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump's technically fresh blood, arguably.
Keep that in mind.
Keep that in
Just
mind.
Just keep that
says.
In mind.
So that's our question. If so, who would you suggest? We'll give you the number of the poll first. So 501-ish votes. Ish. Mm-hmm. About 500 votes. The number is?
93% say yes to fresh blood and, 7% to no.
Over on Insta Story, it's 98% saying yes, 2% saying no, with around 140 or so votes. Let's get some tweets out of the way first, Ords.
So Kavindran is saying that, you know, this discussion is just purely fictional in this political climate. This is he basically says it's just purely fictional. He doesn't think that this is going to happen, I guess.
Well, yeah, but it's a topic of debate, and it's something that I think we need to be having in this country, and I think it's something that needs to be highlighted, which is why we're having the debate.
No, I mean, you know, with all this talk of like snap elections and stuff, it is a big thing. It's something that's hovering over everyone. Will we have like snap elections? Mm. And if you were to open the polls and you would have these numbers as a guide, it kind of tells you where people in certain bubbles or our bubbles would be leaning. So it is a, like, you know, somewhat of a good indicator, I think.
Mm. Over to WhatsApp. Arv.
This is from, let's go to one from Kim. Kim says, fresh blood, why not get Karim Raslan to do it? He's passionate and he seems to know what to do about the current situation. Tell him to run it. Maggie Best says, the present politicians were young ones too. I'm sure that they are young politicians, but I think the main problem is the ability to stay in the game. Ideas, dreams and ambitions need nurturing, time to grow and bear fruit.
I've got a couple over here on Insta Story, and these are names that have been dropped, suggestions at Kairi Jamaluddin, Rafizi Nurul Izza, people who are future-proof or relevant to current politics. That's thanks to Nawi. Sats has said Nurul Izza. Ultra Focus says Izza, Fami, Yo, KJ, Hannah Sadiq, Nazmi, Rafizi, Gobin and Doc Zul. Young and female. That's what should be the global trend right now. And then we've got Clement Watermelon. Nurul, please come back. And he's also going to say Rafizi, please come back. So there's quite a few over there.
Hmm. Speaking of a young and female, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, she's made, wow, a lot, quite an impact in New Zealand. I think off the top of our minds, remember when there was that massacre at the mosque and how she came out so quickly and she really just attended to the situation and she was there. And
no messing.
That really made an impact, I think, on the international scene, right? Mm. But also, you know, she recently released a video, I mean, I think maybe sometime last year, about kind of like all the things that she's managed to do in office in her first year or so, right?
In 2 years. So it, like,
in 2 years.
It's the 2-minute challenge. So her team gave her like a challenge to run down all the things that they've done in the last 2 years, and she's supposed to do it within 2 minutes. And that's the clip that we have.
Start the clock. We've created 92,000 jobs. We've built more than 2,200 state houses. We've banned offshore speculators. We've planted 140 million trees. We've got better cancer care through radiation machines, Pharmac funding, and created an essential cancer agency. We've delivered cheaper doctor's visits for over 500,000 people. We're taking mental health seriously with mental health advisors and GPs and doctors' clinics across the country. We've increased minimum wage to $17.70. We've hired 2,000 more doctors and nurses. We're building more classrooms in schools for 100,000 students. We've brought unemployment to the lowest rate in 11 years. We've got the highest increase in wages in a decade. We've helped 1 million Kiwis pay their bills with their winter energy payment. We've boosted incomes.
Yeah. So you kind of get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes on for like more than 2 more minutes
on
the list of stuff that she has done.
That she has done.
And, just
and none of them are like small things.
Yeah.
You know, these are all big, groundbreaking things.
Big issues. Yeah.
Big issues for New Zealand.
And we didn't mention this earlier, but Jacinda Ardern is 39 years old. She turns 40 later this year. And she's not even like the youngest state leader out there. Sebastian Kurz, he's the Chancellor of Austria. He is 33 years old. Sanna Marin, Prime Minister of Finland. She is 34 years old. Kim Jong-un, Supreme Leader of North Korea. He is 37 years old. And the list goes on. You have plenty of state leaders out there who are under the age of 40.
And, you know, also like speaking about, you know, young people in politics, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she is like making waves in the U.S. and the things that AOC, the stuff that she has done, the way she engages with her supporters, the way that she gets messages out there.
Oh, that discussion she had with Mark Zuckerberg.
You call it a discussion.
Well,
I call it a bulldozer.
Like a telling off.
An assassination, I think.
Yeah.
She was elected to Congress when she was 29.
Yeah.
29, yes.
Yes, and she's making waves as well.
So she has she was on The View with Whoopi Goldberg, and Whoopi Goldberg sort of asked her like why she has this thing against old people, because Whoopi Goldberg said that she felt personally attacked. And this is what AOC had to say.
It felt like you were saying to people like me that I was too old and didn't do enough.
Oh, no.
To make, well, that's what it sounded like. Mm. And so that has bothered me because I feel like I love young people. I was once one.
And I appreciate you sharing that with me because I think...
Well, I figured everybody else probably already...
Yeah. Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing that with me. And I think that that's something that we have to model more in politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work very closely with my sister, Rashida Tlaib. And one of the things that she says is that we're not divided, we are disconnected. And the way that we connect is by sharing honestly our takes with each other. But that being said, first of all, I think there's a lot of incentive to blow up disagreements in the party as like huge fights, because I think it's important for us all to recognize, and we do this in our rallies, to recognize the people who have been in this fight to allow us to have this window as we do right now. You know, Nancy Pelosi, that's Mama Bear of the Democratic Party, you know?
So, you know, here's the thing. It's not just over in the States where we're seeing younger people coming up and having their voices heard. You know, but we talk about this idea of young people versus old people and how here in Malaysia, and in particular parts of Asia, I would say in general, there's this idea of people gravitating towards older politicians, the older statesmen, you know, the sitting back and the listening to... Well, uncle knows best, you know, almost.
Maybe it's about stability. Maybe it's about respect. Maybe it's just
yeah,
the
all
way
of those things.
We've always done it. You know, we've always gravitated, always looked towards the elderly for wisdom and for stability. But yeah, I know we actually spoke to Professor Rozhan Othman from Human Capital Development, and we asked him, you know, why is it that Malaysia or Malaysians tend to gravitate towards older politicians?
I think we're not used to this frequent change and transition in our politics. On the one hand, we may say we would like to see change, but we're not comfortable with anything that is too disruptive, too different from our familiar experience. For as long as we have coalition politics in this country, the likelihood of what is happening now happening again will always be there, even if there is another government coming in the next election. That government also may not last a full term because of this, the inherent instability of coalition politics. So I think psychologically we have to be prepared for that. And I think we've got so used with this mindset of hoping for the government to do everything for us. We've got to realize that we can't depend on the politicians. We have to remember that what is good for the politicians may not necessarily be good for politics. What is good for politics may not necessarily be good for the politicians. And I think what we need to do is to take more power in the rakyat by getting our non-state actors, by getting the businesses to come together, the various chambers of commerce to play a more active role in terms of shaping how industrial policy, how economic growth can take place, regardless of how the government is operating.
Now, even though Professor Rozhan mentioned that we have to move away from purely relying on our politicians to improve our country, you know, we asked him, does he think that fresh blood would make a difference in our current political system?
We certainly would benefit from that. But I think we also have to see that there is still a certain amount of feudal mentality in the way many of our people think about politics. Being connected to certain families is, of course, an asset. And once someone is in politics, they tend to be revered by their supporters, and there is sometimes the level of accountability is not very high, and as a result, people can come in and stay for a very long time. For the younger blood coming in, trying to position themselves, trying to rise within the political hierarchy can be very challenging. And not everyone has the stomach for the kind of a backstabbing, the kind of maneuvering that you would like to basically, you'd have to experience when you are in politics. So that's why I say for those who are more concerned about being professional, about making an impact on society, there are other avenues that we can basically pursue beyond politics. We need to have a change in our paradigm in terms of how we think about politics and the development of the country.
That question again, does Malaysia need an injection of fresh blood in our leadership? We've got a poll running on Instagram and on Twitter. And of course, you can get in touch via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. A quick one over here on Insta Story. People calling out Fahmy Fazil, of course, Nurul Izzah. We've also got one guy here saying, not kidding, Syed Sadiq, enough of dinosaurs. We need someone that can lead for the next 20 or 30 years. Mm. There we go. Let's have some music up next from Queen. Another one, Bites the Dust, on BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Braj,
Audrey Raj.
And of course, our producer is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Resident young person checking in.
There we go. Not that we feel old or anything here in the studio, but our question of today is, does Malaysia need an injection of fresh blood in our leadership? You can get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Get in touch via Instagram at BFM Radio. We have polls running on both of those platforms. But before that, we have an update from the KLCI at break. Ords.
So the FBM KLCI is in green territory. We are back above the 1500 point level. At break, the FBM KLCI is up 0.72% at 1,500 points. Most markets in the region are in the red. STI is up 0.8% at 3,167. Looking at the local bourse and some of the most actively traded counters before the break, they are all in the green. They're all gainers. Avillian Berhad, MTouch Technologies, MyEG Services, Icon Offshore, Tiger Synergy. And a quick look at the ringgit. It is still at 422 against the US dollar, 302 against the Sing dollar, and 546 against the pound.
I'm not going home anywhere anytime soon, am I? Right, let's get to some feedback. Let's go over to WhatsApp first with Arv.
Yeah, so this comes from numbers 1199, who says that, yes, we cannot be stuck with Tun and Anwar forever. We have one from Eugene who says that we should have government process like a company. The candidates looking for the job should be open for qualified people from the public. In this case, diplomats, company leaders, society leaders, youth, etc. The interview stage would be them doing campaigns to get themselves known, the board of directors or the selection community, in this case, all Malaysians, to vote for the candidates. And then we have one from Rivellino who says, unfortunately, Malaysia is not ready for fresh blood yet to lead the country. We have brilliant young minds like Nurul, Rafizi, Hannah, and even Khairi. Then he puts in brackets, unfortunately, Khairi is in the wrong party.
Mm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay, looking at Twitter, there's a long one here, and this is from Nur Hadi, who says, we have so many from all parties, Nurul Izzah, Rafizi, Nick Nazmi, KJ, Sharil Hamdan, Yobi Yin, Hannah Yo, Anthony Lok, Fahmy Fazil, and many, many more in all parties. We haven't seen those who are behind the scenes, so ramai. We need to be more optimistic and put our trust in our people, fellow Malaysians. We can't let the old guard's way of politics keep on going. Systematically, we need to change. Pakatan Harapan has done a good start to highlight young leaders. Time to push further or something like this would repeat. Chon Lai Po says, I kind of remember Nurul walked out of the spotlight and was angry with Dato' Sri Anwar when he came together with Tun M and Pakatan to win a GE14. Feels like she saw what was coming even 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Atila Imam says, Hannah, Fahmy, Kian Ming, Michelle, Yobi Yin, Khairi, and then in brackets it says, don't look at me like that. And he says Nurul too, of course.
It's funny that because Nuts About Hazel over here on Insta Story says, can't believe I'm saying this, but KJ, There seems to be a lot of that sentiment, you know. We've also got Hannah Yeo on here, and Nurul Izzah, of course, has made a lot of mentions. Nurul and Rafizi, back over to Twitter. You say you got some more?
Yeah, so this is from Loveful, who says, when we are talking about young blood to come in, does this actually attract the people from the grassroots, you know? The majority voters out there, do they know these people? Will they have a strong foundation by hook or by crook to help the country and not themselves?
You see, this is part of the discussion that we were having just before the break. And this idea of that kind of statesman politician who's been around for a long time, you know, they're somebody who are familiar to you. You see them in the newspapers, you see them on TV, and therefore they're forming that bond with you, you know. And these newer, younger people, if you pay attention to social media lately, you'll see a lot of the younger kind of workhorses, you know, and that's, I will call them that. They're out there actually doing work. Even while this whole situation is what it is, the old guard are holed up somewhere having discussions and all of this kind of stuff, whilst the younger members of parliament and the MPs and whatever are out there doing work. So, you know, when you ask, you know, by hook or by crook, and will they do all of these things? They're already doing it. It's just that they are not as visible as some of the older members of parliament, right?
Because they're not in the news as much.
Correct.
You know, if you touch base with them, they are going like, you know, what do you think about the last 3 days, like all the stuff that has happened? They're like, too busy working, you know.
Too busy we'll figure actually it out doing later, work.
Doing work.
So that begs the question, you know, are we in a bubble here? Are we in a social media bubble where, you know, we look at the results from our poll right now, halfway through, right? We've got 94% of people saying that we need an injection of fresh blood in our leadership. And even on Instagram as well, right?
Yeah.
It's at a pretty high number. It's a clear majority. But are we in a bubble of sorts? You know, are the people who are not on social media, do they echo our thoughts as well? Do they? Because, you know, you look at the newspapers, you know, what you get in the newspapers is very different from what you get on social media.
Of course.
Because, of course, the younger politicians, they are more active on social media. So are we really in a bubble?
I think we are, you know, and most especially, not only are we in a social media bubble, but we're also in a KL bubble, you know. So
The Bangsa bubble.
The Bangsa bubble, whenever you want to, and there'll be people out there saying, of course you're in a bubble, you know, what are you talking about? But, you know, part of that progress of breaking that bubble or bursting that bubble is about the penetration of the internet and wherever that's going. And when people start having access to internet cheaply and fairly, you know, which has already been started, and most people now have access to internet, they'll start seeing things on Facebook and Instagram and whatever, if they're using it. You know, and to a degree, WhatsApp as well. We know that the older generation, and I don't want to use, but the older generation tend to see a lot more news via their WhatsApp, you know. And that's part of the reason why a lot of people are saying, you know, you have to be careful of the news that you see on WhatsApp and make sure it's accurate. Because if there is stuff being discussed about politicians and their politics on there, you want to make sure it's accurate so you can form a proper opinion. So when you do go to the polls a little bit later on, you're making that decision and it's an informed one.
But also it is a catch-22 situation because, you know, like we were mentioning, some of the senior guys like the camera a lot. So they want to be...
They love the camera a lot. More so than our interim PM right now.
Yeah, so if you want to be, you know, sort of like in the news, you want to be in the media, you want to reach people, that's the easiest way. We talk about social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, but there's no easier way to reach people than the old traditional conventional way of being on TV, being in the newspapers, being in the news. And normally you see the more senior politicians and senior ministers in that space, whereas you don't see the young ones there as much. Again, why? Probably because they're out there doing other things.
Not only that, but the older ones know their audience and they know where their audience is watching them and learning about them.
Speaking of the older ones, you know, our interim prime minister, he's now, I love the new nicknames that have come out. He is PM4, PM7 and PM7 Plus. Right?
Can you get masks for those?
Well, the other thing is, you know, when Tun M first became prime minister in 1980, he was fairly young as well. He was in his 40s, 50s, I think.
Young
for a politician. And also, he's actually allowed Syed Saddiq to come in as well from Bersatu. And I think Syed Saddiq was 25 when he became an MP or 27. I can't remember now. But, you know, there are plenty of traits or advantages or benefits of young blood or young leaders. You know, they can bring quite a bit to the table. And so that's one of the things that we asked Janita Sukumaran. She's the founder and consulting director of Rantau Golden. We asked her, you know, In her opinion, does she think that fresh blood, what would fresh blood bring to the table? And if so, why she thinks Malaysia needs this?
The way we function as a government is basically rehashing the old ways of doing things. I think and I hope that fresh blood would actually bring in new ideas of how to communicate, how to create a new image for the country, a better knowledge of what the people want as opposed to what they think the people need. And I'm really hoping that, you know, this new slate that is being created, instead of looking at it with fear as to what the future brings, I really hope that it means a fresh start for the country, because we really need it. After all the things that we're going through right now, the distrust, fresh blood will make a lot of difference, even if it means 20%, only 20% of the government. It is a start. So I think if you can get more of the Hannahs, the Zulkiflis, the Anthonys, the Gobins, we are on the right track.
There we go. Thank you very much to Janita Sukumaram, the founder and consulting director of Rantau Golin. We're going to take a short break with some music coming up from the Foo Fighters and Learn to Fly. But of course, the question that we are asking, does Malaysia need an injection of fresh blood in our leadership? This is because of a little piece that we heard on the Breakfast Grill this morning, which of course is available for download on the podcast. But it's not just because we heard it there. I think a lot of people are kind of inkling and wanting that idea of young people within government. Let us know what you think, though. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Polls are running. Please do take part. Foo Fighters next. Learn to Fly on BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. 12:46, 12:47 now. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Raj.
Audrey Raj.
Our producer of the day is young person Christine Wong. Say hello, mm-hmm. Christine.
Hello.
She's with us for another 13 or so minutes. If you'd like to get in touch regarding this question, does Malaysia need an injection of fresh blood in our leadership? If so, who would you suggest? Let us know. Our poll over on Twitter, the numbers currently are at
94% for yes and 6% for no.
Pretty clear, wouldn't you say? Over on Insta Story, the numbers are 98% for yes, 2% for no, with around 145 people voting in total. We have got some feedback, plenty of feedback via WhatsApp, Twitter, and Instagram. Let's do WhatsApp first, Alf.
Yeah, this is going to take a while. This comes from Bernard, who says that we need fresh faces, not necessarily younger, but definitely cleaner. Ouch. And then we have one from Azlan who says, I think Tun and Anwar need to work together for now to groom and lay out the new blood requirements. Sorry, but I feel they will need to jumpstart this, and this should take they should take this moment as the opportunity. We have one from Yo who says, I don't think the current government is full of dinosaurs. We just see the head. There's Hannah, Nick, Yobi Yin, Nurul Izzah, so many. The best government is having a combination of new and old politicians.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
And then we have one from Danny who says that, just as sometimes it takes new recruits to change a corporate organization, we need fresh blood, fresh in the sense of someone who is not a seasoned politician, to lead and make changes, someone who is not afraid to shake things up, someone who is not afraid to offend certain stakeholders. As long as you are getting leaders from within the system, you will get the same results, for they have vested interests and they have old friends to take care of. Get someone from the outside.
Yeah, looking at Twitter, Tazanim here says it needs Shahril Hamdan for a start. We've also got Ruzaini, who has his hand up. I think he's volunteering to take over. Kianju says many of the younger appointed ministers and deputy ministers have proven their worth and we should keep them. In addition, it will be worthwhile to bring in young, capable professionals to inject new ideas and know-how to accelerate our nation's growth. We also have Stephen Mark, who says, I want to see Nathaniel Tan in the list. Also, Mikhail Hafiz, get them on air again. And David says, so many in the list of good people in politics. Dr. Zul, Hannah Yeo, Nurul Izzah, Rafizi Ramli, Yobi Yin, Anthony Locke. Apala says, definitely time for fresh minds that plan for the 50-year future of the youth today. The current batch of old hacks are only interested in short-term, selfish political interests. And I think there was one at the bottom there, that said, Nurul, please, Rafizi is too emo. The rest suggested here are not bad as well.
Too emo. Okay, go on, Off.
There's one very interesting one here from Desmond, and it actually calls out the media, so I think we are included. It says that replying to, about the young leaders to govern Malaysia, BFM should call them in more and have general conversations, talks and discussions. I believe many of us Malaysians don't even know what they think. Media journalists like Hot Spotlight, therefore there are no chances for these young leaders to be covered. Also, when I was following the news, 90% of the coverage are the top leaders, what they are doing and what they are going to do. The only time I can see young leaders' view is from Hannah Yeo's social media. Media companies need to change first in order to cover more young leaders' perspectives.
Don't disagree with that at all. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're saying, or what you were highlighting of as well, right? And in fact, you, Auds, you know, we only see these on social media and whatever. We don't necessarily see them in traditional media
news,
so much.
Yeah.
And even when we do, you know, when we're looking at the younger representatives, Syed Saddiq, for sure, you know, who's been recently highlighted in and out of the press or for whatever reason, it's not always in the best of lights, is it? You know, and I think that's part of the problem. It's almost a point where traditional media is making a mockery of these younger people and these younger politicians instead of like lifting them up and showing what they can potentially do and what they could possibly do. You know, it's like, oh, these young people, they don't know anything.
Just dismiss them.
Just dismiss them like that, you know. With that in mind, you know, during the break, I was thinking about the whole idea of, you know, mentors and mentees, you know, and how having younger people learn from older people and the young people giving ideas to the older people and it going backwards and forwards has been a part of politics and a part of businesses and whatever for generations and for years. And it's a proven system and it's a proven way of doing things, except when it comes to politics for the most part. You know, you have a lot of people who have helped somebody into politics. They've helped nurture them. They've done great things for a while and then things have changed, right?
Things have changed.
Yeah,
that's a nice way of putting it.
I'm walking on eggshells here, aren't I? But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yeah. So there should be like, you're saying that there should be a clear-cut role of mentor and mentee. And when you are like a seasoned politician and when you have a mentee and when you're sort of like nurturing someone to come into that space, you know, they should be groomed in the right way to sort of take on the reins and stuff. But two, there should be a sort of like time for them, and we're I know it sounds like we are pointing at specific people, but we are not. There should be a general rule where when there is time for fresh blood, as we're talking about, to come in, then their time should be set, and you should give them the platform to sort of perform and do what they can. Right.
I also think that some of these older politicians, you know, are a little bit scared about bringing the younger people in case they do kind of turn on them. You know, we have seen in the past, arguably, right.
Sure.
We do have one. You sitting on the fence over there. Sure, she says, giggling and letting me trip over my own words. Anyway, the question that we've been running with throughout the entire day, of course, has been, does Malaysia need an injection of fresh blood in our leadership? We thought we'd wrap up with one final clip from Anita Lawrence, who's the founder of Exceed Excellence. She's a certified speaker, trainer and coach with the John Maxwell team. We asked her, what sort of leadership styles do you think the younger generation will exhibit?
There are so many leadership styles. You have the authoritarian, the democratic, the delegative, and you have visionary leadership. So we will not be able to say as a complete whole what the younger generation will exhibit in terms of their leadership style. Some of them want to follow their role model, be it a good or bad example. Another group are like trailblazers and new trendsetters. They are willing to experiment new ways of leading based on what has never been done before. They are risk takers. So it's really difficult to answer this question of what the younger generation, what their leadership style will be like. It doesn't matter because they can use different leadership styles, but according to the purpose, according to the vision, because every individual is so different. And we can't just say one particular style will be exhibited by this younger generation.
Yeah, we also have more feedback coming in through WhatsApp, so we'll get to some of those now. This comes from T.H. Lim, who says that my take on effective politicians and leaders is not fresh blood, but a good listener and doer. It's important that one must have the right character, which will allow him or her to listen, consult, analyze, and have the gut to do something eventually beneficial to the people and not just the popular thing. Shortage of experience is only temporary, as one would gain experience over time and with advisors around. And getting fresh blood alone without the right character is the same as deadwood in politics.
Looking at Twitter, Muhammad Rasip says, I believe these guys can work together and bring the country forward. We need their voices to be louder. He's talking about Khairi, Rafizi, Anurul Izzah, Nick Nazmi, Fahmi Fazil, Syed Sadeq, Ong Kian Ming, Hannah Yeo and Yeo Bi-Yin. Chief Tat says, young people who are involved in various NGOs that work to better the Rakyat's lives. Mm-hmm. He's suggesting them. And we've got one final comment here from Uncle Rizal, who just says, can't wait for a new awesome Malaysia to be unveiled this week.
That would be nice and positive, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for us to wrap up for the afternoon here on BizBytes. Of course, the final results of the poll, 93.9 to 6.1% over on Twitter, whether or not Malaysia needs an injection of fresh blood in our leadership. So pretty clear for people following on social media anyway, at least. That's what we've been discussing throughout the afternoon. Of course, don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay from this morning. You should probably listen to it. It was with Jabba Sadiq, the editor of the Malaysian Insight, and of course, and Karim Raslan, the founder of the KRA Group. After days of intense speculation regarding the formation of a new government coalition, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has resigned as Prime Minister, and as several Parliament members and the entire party, Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, has also exited Pakatan Harapan. Does this spell the end of the coalition? That was on this morning's Breakfast Grill. To wrap up, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.